As promised, we are joined right now by the writer and the EP, the executive producer of Ozark. He was an executive producer of Criminal Minds, an EP of Bloodline. He spent 11 years as a senior writer and a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. Part one of the final season of Ozark releases on January 21st on Netflix. Chris Mundy is my guest. Chris, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you. So I want to pick my spots because there are so many things I do want to talk to you about. Ozark, your other work, Rolling Stone, Nebraska football, and more. But why don't we start with the early years? You're from Omaha, Nebraska. What was life like for you growing up there?
Life was great growing up there. You've got space and freedom. You've got... I had really good friends. I had awesome parents. It was pretty, it's idyllic in the way that you sort of romanticize that, you know, old-fashioned Midwestern upbringing. I kind of had it. I loved it. My parents and my sister are still back there, and I go back a fair amount.
You know, Chris, I get that. I remember the first time that I went to Omaha. I was back in 1994, and I had never been to the state before, and I was amazed by what I saw, and I understand that, and that's coming from somebody who was born and raised in L.A. So if you're growing up in Nebraska, how much of a role did Nebraska football play in your early years?
I measure years by Nebraska football games. I literally measured them. I measured them by losses to Oklahoma in the 70s before we finally beat them in 78. It's the marker of like grade school, high school. I used to listen to, you know, because every game wasn't on TV back in the day. So if it was an away game or if, you know, my parents had season tickets, but if I wasn't going with them, you'd sit and listen to, our old play-by-play guy was Lyle Bremser. You'd listen to Lyle Bremser calling the game, and me and my friends would play football and listen to the game, you know. But the production company that I have now for my work is called Man, Woman, and Child Productions, and that's from Lyle Bremser. Instead of saying ladies and gentlemen, he'd say man, woman, and child. It's deeply embedded in there.
I love that. Chris Mundy is joining us. I do love that. So after college, you spent 7 years in the office at Rolling Stone and then another 4 years on contract with them. As an example, you were writing about Nirvana in the early years when Dave Grohl was 22 years old. What do you remember about that?
I remember that well, because I went on the road with them. I went on the road with them right when Nevermind came out. So, over in Europe. So, and it was weird because for me, it was, you know, I'm the same age as those guys and we kind of all had the same musical influences and, you know, sort of the punk rock upbringing. So, for me, it was like this weird moment where all of a sudden, like all the strange stuff we listened to and cared about won. And we couldn't quite believe it, you know? And, so meeting up with those guys and going on the road, it was kind of, It was chaotic because for them, they just sort of like accidentally hit number one in the States. And they were just supposed to be a little punk rock band. You know, the whole tour sort of imploded right around the time when I went there. And there was a fan who got hit in the face with a big Kurt and Chris smashed their guitars together. He got hit in the face and lost his teeth and went into shock. And we jumped in a van and drove from Belgium to Amsterdam. And like within like 4 days after that, the whole tour was called off and they went back to the States. So it was, I remember chaos, but I also remember like total wonder at the fact that like what we'd sort of thought all along and what we cared about like actually was getting a voice. So it was an amazing moment in a ton of ways.
What a great story. Chris Mundy joining us. Chris, I'm going to ask you about Ozark in 1 minute, but I'm really curious about when you mentioned your punk rock roots. Like I came up in college radio and I remember the epiphany, the first time I ever heard what might be my favorite band, The Replacements. I can remember when I was in college, we listened to REM quite a bit. We listened to The Jam. Like who were some of the other punk rock bands that you listened to when you were coming up that really meant a lot to you?
It's funny you say The Replacements. That's my favorite band of all time.
Right?
The Replacements and The Clash are my two favorite bands of all time. But, you know, for me, it was, I remember when I first started driving, you know, there were cassettes. A friend of mine in high school who was 2 years two years older than me, she made one cassette that had the Buzzcocks singles Going Steady on one side and Dead Kennedys Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables on the other. And then another one that had the first Clash album on one side and Sound Effects by The Jam on the other. And that's all I listened to when I got my license, that, you know. And then a little bit and I actually right around the same time, I was never a big hardcore fan, but I saw at a midnight movie when I was like 15, The Decline of Western Civilization, about the LA punk scene.
Right.
And it scared the hell out of me in the best possible way. And like, those were like huge stamps on everything. And then, you know, from there you just gobble it up, like all the British punk, but also like all the American, you know, obviously the Ramones, but you know, Richard Tell, you know, all of it. And then when it kind of turned the corner into all the other stuff that I love, like the Replacements and all that, who like, you know, and kind of took the mantle of it and made it a little more like garagey underground. Like to this day, I love all that stuff.
It's so great. Chris Mundy is joining us. I really appreciate that response. So part one of the final season of Ozark is going to be released next Friday on Netflix. What's it been like for you as the showrunner to approach the final season? Like, what kind of emotions do you have on a personal level as you do this?
It's really wild. This the last season, you know, because it was 14 episodes, so it was longer. We usually do 10. Because we shot more days per episode, we shot shorter hours, then therefore a lot more days because of COVID to try to, you know, minimize risk. The last season just took forever in a lot of ways. So as you're going through it, everyone's tired and you want it to end, except for the fact that you absolutely don't want it to end,
right.
You know?
So right.
It's been really... everybody, you know, from me and the writers down to Jason and Laura and Julia and everybody, it was very melancholy, you know, toward the end. There's a lot of stuff especially in the back half, not these first seven, but in the final seven, where we're writing about the characters but there's also a lot of like little inside things about the show itself and about all of us as a group that are almost like little inside jokes to ourselves about mourning the loss of the show.
Chris Mundy is joining us. Chris, I wonder, I mean, you could point to a multiple or a variety of different aspects that make that show so unique. I'm curious, in your mind, what is it that makes Ozark what it is?
You know, I think that the best thing about the show is it's a lot of different things at once. It's a story about a family. It's a story about a marriage. It can be sweet and sentimental. It can be scary and violent. It can be funny in the way that we think we're funny. And so I think because of that, you're always, you'll get lulled into a sense of security that gets upended, but you also just feel, hopefully, I mean, you know, if we did our job right, you're emotionally attached to everyone. It's not just like, oh, this is a fun ride. I think you hopefully really care about the people. I mean, if you think we did 44 of them, so that's, you know, that's like 22 movies, you know, so it's a lot of time to spend with people. And so hopefully it kept getting a deeper connection. And like with anything, like with your friends, like sometimes you laugh, sometimes you're pissed off, sometimes you know, it's really sentimental. And hopefully we can be all those things.
I was going to say, in fact, it's really interesting you bring that up. I was going to say, how do you strike that balance? How can you be all those things? Because over the course of the series, you have to balance the darkness, but the humor with the program, as well as the danger and the crime with the core relationship of the birds' marriage. How have you been able to balance all of that?
You know, it's hard. It's like it's like a geometric, you know. You almost have to like think about it in shapes, and like we always keep when we're starting a season and breaking it, we always keep all the storylines of the 10 episodes up all the time on one board that we can always see it, so you can see the shape of things, you know. And I think then you just have to have an instinct about like let me say this: we always approach it from what's the Marty Wendy marriage story and what's the family story right away. So if we feel like we have that, then people will be emotionally connected. And then from there, it's just an instinct of kind of you're looking at the whole being like, you know what? I don't want to feel all that without getting some break, without getting some warmth, without getting some or without something funny. And so you just, you know, hopefully we've gotten better every season. I like to think we have. And because you just get to know yourself and that instinct just gets better. Do you know what I mean? You just play at game speed a little bit better.
You bet. You bet. So let me finally ask you, as I mentioned, the first part of the final season is released next week. So what was the thinking behind doing the final season in two parts? As a writer, does it feel like it's one season in two parts, or maybe does it feel more like two seasons?
Yeah, it's a bit of a trick question, but for, you know, it feels like one in that, like, it needs to stand. If when you run it all together, it needs to hold up as one cohesive thing. So in that way, it's like it's one season. But in reality, we kind of thought of it in the writer's room as two seasons, you know, because that's the way people are going to experience it. So we wanted the first seven to feel satisfying and come to a place where we were going to end the season. And knowing that, like, when the second half starts, people are going to come to it almost like it's a new season again. So when you glue it back together, it should all feel like one whole more than the other seasons. But you know, in the writer's room, we call them episode 401 to 407 and episode 501 to 507, just so we could understand the way the audience was going to experience it.
And then really quickly, with such talent, like Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, Julia Garner, how would you describe the relationship between a great, great cast like that and the writer's room, the writing of the show?
I mean, well, we're just spoiled. I mean, basically, I mean, that, we're really lucky in that the three people you named are just amazing people to work with and know, you know, and that doesn't always happen. I've definitely experienced, you know, things when it didn't happen like that. So there's just kind of like a trust and a partnership. You know, as the writers, we try to make sure we get the scripts out early. They have them early. You know, it's an open phone line every day. You know, we're all around each other. You know, I would sit with Laura before every season and talk through everything that Wendy's going to go through. So it's just once we were kind of up and running and we all knew that we not only liked each other, but also that we trusted each other, then it gets really good because you're making it in real time and you can start to write to people's strengths and you can start to understand that their suggestions are coming not from, you know, some kind of like selfishness. They're coming from like what's best for the show. So that's when it gets really good, you know, when you actually feel that whole teamness. And I know it sounds hokey, but like we completely had it.
I get that. Part one of the final season of Ozark releases on January 21st on Netflix. He is the writer and the EP of the show, Chris Mundy, my guest. Chris, great conversation. Really appreciate you. Thanks so much for doing that. Great to have you on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for closing the show for me. That was fascinating. Good stuff.